April 12, 2006, Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Episode 10. We're up to number 10. Turning 10. That's 10. You know, it's as many fingers as I have. How about you guys?
Yeah.
I lost a thumb in a coding incident a couple years back. hasn't grown back yet, so.
to a little harsh coding.
Yeah. Pull off the socks and we'll get a tenner.
I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm on the line with
Matt Westgate
and Ted Serbinski.
So, yeah, it's another Lullabot podcast. We get together and we talk about Drupal. We're still trying to figure out why. So, what's news? What's going on? What's happening with you guys? Any exciting news in the land of Drupal this week?
Well, a couple of days ago, Drupal released candidate 2 for 4.7 was released. Appears to be the final release candidate, according to the announcement. And there's just a couple more. There's one critical bug left that doesn't look too critical. And otherwise, the final release should be coming anytime soon now.
Great. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Anyone out there, if you have a couple minutes, just hop on, see if you can review patches, look at things, download, test. Everything helps.
Yeah. I mean, the last podcast, we were saying that we were, to sort of a yet another beta and that there wasn't a whole lot of bugs in the queue. And sure enough, Ted's prediction that Matt and I were resistant to back came through. And the release candidate came out. Now, actually, we're already up to release candidate 2. Shouldn't be long before there's actually...
Yeah, the next release should be 4.7 final, unless something creeps up, but it does not look like it will.
That's amazing. Great news. Well, the reason that we didn't check in last week and tell you about release candidate 1 was because I was in San Francisco teaching Drupal Camp, which went great. That was a lot of fun. We had 15 people in the class, and it was great. Really, really good to do. Really,
and that was maxed out, right?
Yep. Sold out. Was good. There's definitely talk about doing more of that kind of thing. Lullabot's going to do set up some training session kind of stuff. We're actually starting a mailing list for people who are interested in that kind of thing. If you go to lullabot.com, you can sign up for that mailing list. Well, we're actually setting it up. So if it's not set up by the time you hear this, come back again soon.
Yeah, and there's other talk of Drupal training sessions going on as well. I just read a thread on the Drupal consulting mailing list that Adrian Rousseau's looking to do some courseware on Drupal. He's in South Africa, and he's got a couple buddies that want to learn Drupal. He thought rather than just sitting down and hacking things out with them, he would try and make things official and get some official training information together and put it up on the Drupal site to make it available for everyone. So I think that's great. Drupal definitely needs more developers, and I think we'd love to help Adrian in that area and get some official training documents out there for everyone to access.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a lot to learn. We can only cover so much in this podcast. it'd be great to have stuff out there. Other news we have, Matt, you did a video, another video cast kind of thing on the Lullabot website, lullabot.com, this week.
I did. I reviewed a module. I hope to do more module reviewing in the future. I reviewed Flickr Sticker module, which was put out by the guys at developmentseed.org. And I did a module that was similar to it a couple years back called Image Assist. And what it does is it gives users a way to add images into their posts rather than just going to create content and image with image module. When you create a blog entry, you get a list of images that you see, and then you click on the image and it automatically writes the code into your post. And so what Flickr Sticker does is it uses all the images from your Flickr account. So it's like having a little search, my Flickr account, thing in your create content form. So you go and type your username and it pulls back the latest 10 images added to your Flickr account. And then you can click those and choose which size you want, the large, medium, thumbnails. And it writes the code right in there as you create your blog entry or your story. And it's a really slick module. You know, it's one of those things that doesn't have a lot of functionality, but what it does do, it does really well. And I was taken by it, and I wanted to do a video cast on it to get some more exposure for the module.
Yeah, I mean, the video casts are really great, not just to do like a whole like tutorial kind of thing, but just to sort of see what's available. I mean, that whole thing of like how much I've learned about, I don't know, you know, computer shortcuts or Macintosh tricks or even programming stuff, just by sort of looking over someone's shoulder and seeing what they're doing and how they're doing it. And to be able to just put up a short, you know, little video cast, screenshot, screencast kind of thing of, you know, like, hey, check this out. It's really neat. It really does a whole lot. Zach Rosen put up a video cast on his blog recently about how organic groups work, sort of showing like how you can kind of tie into the mailing lists and you know, basically just kind of how it works. And it was really great. I mean, I'd kind of been sort of peripherally following what was going on with that, but I hadn't had a chance to actually work it in any of the sites that we were working on. It was really, really great to just see it. Like, oh, okay, cool. Drupal does that, and it's really, really nice.
Yeah, and I should add that we get a lot of emails asking how I make the video casts. And I have a Mac, and I use a software called Snaps Z Pro, and we'll put a link to it in the podcast description. But it's a great little piece of software that can record all the activity that goes on your site, and there's a lot, or on your computer, and there's a lot of options that you can configure. But that's all I do is I use Snap Z Pro, and then I clean it up a little bit in another program and put it out. So yeah, you know, the more video casts, the better.
Yeah, it's good
certainly
stuff.
a lot of things to cover in Drupal, and I'm not going to cover them all by myself.
We got a limerick. Somebody said, in our joking around each week, you know, we ask for people to send us various things, and you know, you can call in questions, or comments, or, you know, limericks, at 877 Lullabot. You can, call into the podcast that way. But we got someone, emailed us a limerick.
Yes, it was from Dylan Clear, a.k.a. D-Clear, y'all. And his limerick is, there was once an idea came from Belgium to serve young geeks and to help them. But it grew from a drop to a wave without stop that changed all of web development. So, yeah, that's not that bad.
You know,
it's a good start.
It's not a strict... It doesn't follow a strict rhyming scheme, but I think, you know, with a couple of beers in you, it works.
Yeah, it's a free form.
And really, that's what a limerick's all about, isn't it?
I agree.
So D-Clear, we need your address to give you a Lullabot shirt.
So yeah, just
follow up with that.
Just email us your address and we will and your T-shirt size, and we will send you a Lullabot T-shirt for your wearing pleasure. You can wear it while drinking more.
So send more limericks, y'all.
Yeah,
and haikus. I want to hear some haikus.
Ted's trying to class it up. Class it up with the haikus.
Diversify.
What do you drink? Sake with the haikus, right?
Yeah,
it's classy. It's classy. We have a. We wanted to talk about a module this week. I suppose I should get a module of the week robot voice to go through here. Maybe I'll put that together. But for the time being, we'll just talk about taxonomy menu, which was something that we'd been talking about maybe doing a podcast about or doing a video cast about. But we'll just talk about it here, and maybe we'll do a video cast at some point, because this is immediate. There's no, you know, we just talk and it goes out there and people hear it and they get tired of us and turn it off.
So taxonomy menu module is a module that makes it really easy to basically have all your taxonomy terms appear as a menu on your site. And this is really useful. Like, there's a lot of times a lot of people like to set up their site by defining taxonomy or vocabulary, setting up a bunch of terms, and then they want this to be the main navigation of their site. The problem is with Drupal, there's no super easy way to have this click a button and it automatically appears. You can go into admin menu and you can add links to taxonomy/term/0/whatever. But what taxonomy menu module does is it makes a new block with all these terms already there for you. And then you can move these around into other menus and delete them, move them around. Makes it really easy to basically browse your website. And I think this is a great module. It's really simple, easy to use, and has a lot of uses.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool because, like, taxonomy, the problem with it is that you set up your vocabularies and your terms and all that kind of stuff, and then you start tagging your content with them. And by default, you know, these terms show up on your nodes as you're creating them, and you can click those and then get the listing of other nodes of other content items that are in that category that are actually tagged with that term is how Drupal thinks of it. But the problem is, what if you don't want to show those on your nodes, or you wanted to put, for instance, like on the Lullabot website, our podcasts are just, there's just a taxonomy called podcast, and it has two subterms of audiocast and videocast, and we tag stories with the attachment of the podcast as either a podcast, as an audio cast or a video cast. And then we have in our primary navigation on the site, a link to everything in the podcast, that is a podcast. But the problem is, from a graphical user interface, it's sort of hard to tell sometimes where to link to get to the podcast, or if you're setting up a site that works kind of like Delicious or Flickr or something like that, where you'd want to be able to click on the free tags to show everything that's shown up in those terms, or move one into your primary navigation, into your primary links. It's nice to be able to just kind of get all of your taxonomy stuff into a menu, and then either you could just enable that block. That taxonomy menu, that menu as a block on your site, or you could move it into one of the menus that is a block on your site, so that you'd get this stuff presented. Makes things a lot easier and a little more intuitive, because there is sort of that sort of disconnect. Like, okay, I've categorized, I've tagged all my content. Now what?
It's a really easy way to create a directory of the content that's on your site. A quick example is for a plant pathology site that I did. They had a list of all the different plant diseases, and they wanted a way to browse that information. So I just used taxonomy menu, put it over in the menu system, and boom, they had a hierarchy of all the plant diseases that folks could click down into and see the articles within the specific diseases that they were interested in.
Right, and as they added more... If there were new diseases that came up, they could just add a taxonomy term, and it would immediately create a new item in the menu that they could, that people could click and go to see what's there, right?
Yep. It's beautiful.
Handy dandy. Yes. Definitely, definitely nice to know about. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Sounds like it's dying.
I know.
I'm running low on batteries.
I think the robots may need some help. This is the tip of the week. So I was out in San Francisco, Drupal Camp, The next on Monday, I walked into a coffee shop, sort of hipster coffee shop, and there was hipster Josh Koenig from Trellin, Drupal programmer extraordinaire. We sat down and we talked for a while about some various stuff. And he actually, in the course of our talking, gave me an idea. Well, he gave me a tip, which I said, that would be a good tip of the week. People should know about that. So Josh's idea, Josh's trick that he uses, is to create like, what I would call a cheat sheet block, like an HTML cheat sheet. So oftentimes you, have users, of your site who are creating content, who are probably not HTML savvy. And you could either enable a WYSIWYG editor like TinyMCE or, there's a few others out there. But that's sort of, there's sort of a fair amount of overhead to that, and maybe they aren't entering much HTML and stuff like that, and you just sort of need to give them a reminder. What you can do is you can create go to admin block and create a new block. And when you create a new block, it just asks you what you want to put in that block. And you can just put your little cheat sheet in there, you know, remind people of like how to make things italic and how to make things bold and what the different headers that you want them to use or any special stuff that you have set up in your style sheet. And then you set up that block so that it only appears on node/add/asterisk and node/asterisk/edit. And then it will only show up on the pages where people are either creating a new node of a certain type or they're editing a node. You know, if potentially, let's say you only wanted it to show up on the story, nodes, things would get a little more complicated, but at least for when they added stories, if it was a new story, it would be node/add/story, and then it would only show up on the story nodes. But yeah, it's kind of a handy thing, a way to get your, block, you know, just to put a little cheat sheet up. And you can actually use this kind of trick for any block anywhere on the site if you wanted a block to show up only on taxonomy listings or only in the admin section or something like that. Handy dandy trick. Thanks to Josh. We've another project that we've been working on with Lullabot is we've been working, I think we mentioned this in a previous podcast, we've been working on the This Week in Tech website, which for Leo Laporte, internet celebrity extraordinaire. And Leo mentioned us on a recent Twit podcast. And there was some sort of talk about Drupal and the pros and cons of Drupal. And I thought it would probably be good to play that here so that the Drupal people could hear what some of the sort of bigger name people in the tech world are saying about Drupal. Some of them, pundits. This is Leo Laporte on with Doug Kay. Doug Kay does IT Conversations and IT Conversations Network, and John Dvorak. And here's the clip of them talking.
A little update on our web redesign. It's progressing along very well. I want to thank the folks at Lullabot. What happened is I went to Amber MacArthur and her team at Archetype, and they did a beautiful design for me, but because we use Drupal, which is a content management system on twit.tv, it then had to be kind of engineered. You know, the back end had to be done, and I went to Lullabot, which is just a fantastic group of people, lullabot.com, and the reason I'm giving them a big plug is because we ran out of money. We couldn't pay them, and I said, look, you know, guys, we appreciate it. We'll just have to get back to you in a few months. And they're doing it pro bono right now. So I thank you very much, Lullabot. And if you're looking for a Drupal design or any work of any kind, Jeff Robbins, Matt Westgate, and Ted Serbinski. Ted's really working hard on this, and it's looking
great. How do you like Drupal, by the way?
Love it.
I hate it.
You hate it? Why do you dislike it?
Drupal's sort of like a religion.
It is. It's very much a cult, and I'm in the cult.
Yeah, but you get developers and you ask them to do something, and the first thing you say is, well, how can we Drupalize your idea?
Well, you kind of, you know. But that's true with every content management system.
No, I don't think that's true. Doug, have you played with Joomla?
No, I haven't.
I played with it a little bit, but I don't have an opinion on it one way or the other.
Joomla, well, I play with the, I have the earlier version, Mambo. And
Mambo, I know, yeah.
Mambo's know Mambo. It's the same thing. But
I totally hate Mambo, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I can see why, because it's very difficult to get into. But once you're into it, it's extremely powerful.
It's the other thing is, I think Drupal's code base is it's a lot cleaner than anything else out there. It's well-written code. And it has a lot more modules. It seems very well supported.
That's the old suite versus best of breed argument. And when we got into it for the Conversations Network, we found out right away that Drupal was able to solve 20% of our problems, and the 80% that was hard, we had to do ourselves anyway.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah. And so, what are you using?
It's all handwritten. It's all PHP. But it's not important that it's PHP. What's important is that it's not using anybody's canned code.
What was Drupal not able to do that you needed?
Well, it couldn't handle podcasts. It couldn't handle audio.
It handles podcasts very well now, by the way.
Well, it doesn't have a good system for handling large objects in general. You know, so the actual handling of the MP3 files. Also, we have a system where we do show assembly every night. Every night we rebuild over thousands of programs in our archives.
A lot of stuff. Wow.
And
Doug, what's your URL?
ITconversations.com.
Yeah, ITconversations.com is probably the best place to find us. And that, I should also plug the conversationsnetwork.org. That's the other one, conversationsnetwork.org. But that's, we had to do things that Drupal just wasn't even close to. And we got a whole bunch of Drupal developers in. We decided to make an open source project, and we brought in volunteers.
What's the name of this open source project?
Well, it's conversationsnetwork.org. It was the content management system, but we killed it. We killed it because what happened is the Drupal people got all excited about it and tried to shoehorn it into the Drupal architecture, and it just made it incredibly cumbersome.
Well, we'll see. You know, one of the things Lullabot's doing, one of the reasons I'm excited about Lullabot is what we're hoping to do. You know, there's a Drupal distribution right now for nonprofits called Civic Space, which is very good, and it makes it very easy for a nonprofit to kind of get a very nice looking website up quickly with all the features they want. And I'd like to do that for podcasting. And so one of the things I've talked about with Lullabot is maybe taking the work that they do for us and then generalizing it and giving it away as Civic Space is given away.
Yeah, I think it's good for you. It wasn't good for us because we're all about that content management system. We're all producing, 60 podcasts a week.
Well, you do a huge amount. Yeah, I mean, I only need to manage 10 thing. Or 20 podcasts a week. I don't need to do anything like that.
A measly 10 or 20.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit. So, first of all, I mean, there's definitely this whole sort of cult of Drupal thing that goes on, and obviously has the potential to turn people off. So I would encourage all you Drupal developers out there to be careful about talking about Drupalizing things. It's just, I mean, it's easy, to get excited, so excited about what Drupal can do and what Drupal could become, that it's can look a little culty sometimes, and I agree with that. I mean, I think it's important to keep in mind that Drupal isn't the best solution for everybody always, and lots of times there's sort of shorter cut kind of solutions. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I think I tend to see a lot of like, hey guys, how can we Drupalize this? But I like the way Leo kind of phrases these. He's like, how do we engineer our site to kind of work with Drupal? And I think it's a slight distinction, but it can, some people will turn on, some people turn off, and it's very, you got to be careful with who you're working with. But I do agree, like, Drupal works very well for a lot of cases, but Drupal doesn't do everything. And like, working here at Lullabot, we realize Drupal does work with most of the work we do, but there are cases where, hey, there's might be something better that a little bit more tailored, easier to use. So that's also something to keep in the back of your mind, that Drupal can't do everything.
Yeah.
It can do most things.
Well, I mean, there's just a fair amount of overhead to using Drupal. I mean, it sort of goes back to what I call, I don't even know if it's a word, but I'm going to just keep using the word, genericizing. That basically the idea behind what's going on with Drupal.
I think you went generalizing.
Okay, generalizing. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Generalizing or you
something
know,
like that.
Sort of making things generic. In the Drupal core, the idea is that it's all things for all people. It's all the stuff that pretty much most sites are going to kind of want. But maybe some sites are specialized and don't necessarily need to load the entire user object and, you know, session data and stuff like that for what they're doing. A friend of mine and I built, a video content management system for Ringo Starr, a couple years ago before I knew about Drupal. It was pretty slick. I mean, Ringo doesn't type, so he wanted to make, well, yeah, he types a little bit, but he mostly just wanted to make videos to talk to people. He wanted people to come to his site and him to be there and say hi, you know. And he really liked making iMovies and little QuickTime things and stuff like that. So we set up we wrote a bunch of Apple script that reformats the QuickTime stuff and uploads it, FTPs it up to the site, and then there's sort of PHP that takes over from there. But I mean, it's really pretty simple stuff. I keep thinking that it would be kind of neat and interesting to move that over to Drupal, but it's just so sort of simple in the grand scheme of things that it seems like it would be more trouble to move it over to Drupal than not. So.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was first getting into Drupal, I saw it, you know, as a content management system, and felt myself being very boxed in to the look and feel and architecture of how a Drupal site worked. You know, I had to go to create content, to add a blog entry, to add a story. Why couldn't I just go to, you know, add blog entry, things like that? But after I started playing around with it and digging in there and looking at the hooks and sort of the core framework, I saw it as being an actual framework. You know, there was one instance where I made a search engine off of Drupal, and the reason I used Drupal is because I liked its database abstraction layer so much. And part of the requirements for that project was I didn't know if it was going to end up on MySQL or Postgres, and that really opened up my eyes to seeing Drupal as a framework that didn't have to feel like a Drupal site. You know. And so I think, you know, developers early on just see it as a CMS, but once they start to get into it and really understand how flexible and modular Drupal can be, it opens up your eyes to a whole new way of crafting a Drupal site.
Yeah, I was just gonna agree with Matt. When I first started, Drupal was kind of felt locked in. Like, is this my site? What can I do with it? And the more you play with it and kind of see around, and like, we're trying to put our tutorials, because these are things, once someone tells you about it, it's like, oh. And once you start to play with Drupal more and learn more about it, you realize it is more of a framework. You can make it do almost anything you want, just kind of moving things around. I think that's a really good point to kind of keep in mind. You're not locked into just what a Drupal site is. You just got to figure out how to do what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean,
I should also add to that project that for that search engine, I turned off Node module. I didn't even need it. You know, I had my own way of collecting content. I just needed a URL and a description, and Node module was causing such overhead for my site because I was listing, you know, 100 or 200 search results per page that I just used. I found out how to override that hook, and I implemented my own way of storing content. So, I mean, to think that you can go into a content management system and turn off its main content collection object is phenomenal. You know, that's just amazing that a framework can be that flexible.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, that most of the work in Drupal has been done at the framework level at this point. And that's where people are, you know, where those of us that kind of exist at that level have experienced Drupal at that level get really excited about it, because it's like, it's this great clean framework kind of thing that's very flexible, and you don't need to hack it. You know, there's hooks all over the place that allow you to kind of tie in and modify things along the way. But at the content management system level, at the sort of the top level of user interface and sort of design stuff, that's where actually less of the work has been done, and why Drupal doesn't look as good as it might. I mean, there's definitely a trend in that direction. Dries, when he got up in Vancouver to talk about the Drupal roadmap, I mean, he talked about usability and user interface and stuff like that. So it's definitely something that Dries, as the project leader, is aware of. I'm definitely aware of it. You know, I mean, the Drupal Camp weekend was basically about how to make your Drupal site not look like Drupal, which is all about that. And it's available, but it's not quite matured yet, you know, to really do that. But the thing is that the framework you can kind of do anything on, and therefore it's sort of within your power to improve the user interface kind of however you would like. But again, it goes back to this sort of genericizing or generalizing kind of thing, where the current themes and the current sort of stuff that's out there needs to be everything for everyone. And so it doesn't make a whole lot of assumptions, and therefore kind of doesn't take any chances to look good, if you will, and stuff like that. But I mean, like my experience with Mambo was that although it looked great, you go to the Mambo site, or I guess it's Joomla now, you know, you think like, oh, this is the great thing. It looks professional. I'm going to build my site with this. But when I actually sort of lifted up the hood and kind of looked under there to figure out what it would take to actually make it do what I needed it to do, I found that it was actually a lot less configurable and sort of more difficult to work with than Drupal. And I looked elsewhere and found Drupal.
And that reminds me, we have another limerick.
We do.
This one comes from Daniel Hengeveld, and it is, Mambo and Nuke were so fragile, we needed a framework more agile. Dries came out on top with a website called Drop, and I can't find a rhyme to match fragile. All
right.
Thanks, Daniel.
I think Daniel may actually already have a t-shirt. But
Oh, yeah? He's trying to get another one, eh?
I got intercepted by Daniel at South by Southwest, so.
Well, he deserves another one.
And also, I mean, just so that we've sort of addressed everything in that Twitcast there, I mean, the podcasting stuff has obviously improved, I think, probably since Doug Kay was looking at Drupal. I mean, there's still some ways to go with upload stuff in general and sort of media handling in general. But it's getting better, and it's a chicken and the egg situation with as more sort of front end design people get involved, as more people come and come to my training things and learn how to theme Drupal. It's just chicken and the egg thing. I mean, as we get more people involved that care about that stuff, there'll be more work done on that stuff, and it'll get better. I mean, it's the great thing about open source as opposed to building a proprietary system is that once you build your proprietary system, it just kind of stays there as it is. And Drupal continues to expand. And in fact, we've got 4.7 release candidate as we speak. And I think that's a good way to wrap up the podcast. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
One of these days we'll have people saying, how do I make my site look like a Drupal site? And oh, will that be glorious.
Why can't WordPress look more like Drupal? All right. Well, we'll see you next time. I'm doing a interview with Zach Rosen from Civic Space. Going to answer some of those nagging Civic Space questions, and that'll be the next podcast, and we'll see you then. So, all right, take care, everybody.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.